Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
It is possible that the farther you go with Jesus, the more you trust him, the more you obey him, the more you walk with him, the more you do the deal, the more vulnerable you become to suffering. Because God sees that not only do you trust him, but he discovers that he can trust you.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Flower Arrangement. So some of where we're going today is this. If at some point you do not approach God this way, and he says, okay, look, people live, people die. It's been going on for millennia. I am going to give you flowers. This is the flower arrangement. I'm going to give you a wife. I'm going to give you a husband. They could not turn out so good. They could die. You knew that when you married them. You hoped they wouldn't, but they did. Focus on the flowers that I gave you, not on the fact that they're gone. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Let's get some verses in here. So the thing started out great. Genesis 1:31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So 6 days in, it's all done, and it's all very good. And then what happens? God gives man free will. God did not force Adam and Eve to sin. And ultimately, the responsibility falls on Adam, not Eve. You say, but she's the one that took of the fruit and gave it to her husband. He should have had enough sense to be the leader in a perfect world and said, that's not what we're going to do. But he eats it with her, and now here we are. So it's a fallen world. Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam he said, because you have indeed heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. I don't know how much time I got left, but if Jesus doesn't come back, I'm out of here. And the longer I live, the more I hold loosely to things that I cannot control. So if you wake up in the morning and you take inventory, I look over, Rebecca's next to me, she's awake, she's alive, she's breathing. She doesn't have to look over, she hears me snoring and knows I'm clearly awake, I'm alive. Then you kind of take inventory. The kids are okay. The spouses are okay. The grandchildren are okay. You take a deep breath and go, we got another day. We got another day. You say, well, what if that day is fraught with catastrophe? You better put your seatbelt on in the morning then. You better say, okay, Lord, this is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it, and here it comes. And don't do something stupid to bring stuff on you that is unnecessary, but be aware that he can allow things to happen that you don't understand, I don't understand, I don't like. I want to basically go to heck with all of it, but I got nowhere else to go, so I hold, I stay with him. Job 1:21. I hear a lot of people, oh, I feel like Job. You know what? You have to go through some really bad to feel like Job. Job's lost possessions, but on the same day, he gets word that his 10 children have all been killed in one event. 10 kids having a dinner party, and they're all dead. And someone walks in and says that. And what is his response to that? And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, it's not that easy. It is that easy if that's what you believe. You say, well, that's not fair. And by the way, I don't want to say this in some kind of twisted negative way. Why did that happen to Job? Because God brought him up to Satan in a meeting. The devil did not bring Job up. God brought Job up. Why did God bring Job up? Because he was the guy. Of all the people on the planet, God knew he's my guy. He won't quit. He won't back off. He may get questioned. He may get a little sideways. He's going to trust me. So here's the twisted possibility. It is possible that the farther you go with Jesus, the more you trust him, the more you obey him, the more you walk with him, the more you do the deal, the more vulnerable you become to suffering. Because God sees that not only do you trust him, but he discovers that he can trust you. And that you're not going to spin off, and you're not going to flip him off, and you're not going to badmouth him, you're not going to quit. You're going to grieve, you're going to suffer, you're going to think you're going to die. But you say, okay, Lord, you've allowed this for some reason. You're all I've got. I'm going to hold. And then God takes that suffering, that pain, that whatever it is, and a situation, another person comes into your life, and he says, now. And you say, I don't want to go there again. He says, now, do not waste my grace. Do not waste my strength. Do not waste the pain I've allowed you to go through to not help this person. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. I was with a group of smaller group of men, and they asked me how I was doing, and I told them. Between my brother and his wife and his situation and another buddy of mine who's going through a divorce, I'm a little sad. I don't like being sad. I'm not a sad person. But when you love people, you load up. You weep when they weep. You rejoice when they rejoice. But when they're weeping, you weep too, or something's gone terribly wrong. And sometimes that's all you can do. You sit down with someone who's weeping, and people say, well, what should I say to them? You may not say anything. You may just cry with them. Well, how's that going to fix anything? It ain't going to fix it, but it sure helps to have someone that you think at least cares about you. You're not by yourself. So sometimes all you do, Job's situation, loses all his kids, everything. And what do his three buddies do right? They show up, and for 7 days, they sit down on the ground with him and say nothing, because there's nothing to say. But they showed up. Now, I'm going to be fine, but if I tell you honestly, in their days where you're just sad, you lost a spouse, a child, your marriage is in trouble, but you got to find ways to climb out of that storm. And one of the basic ones for me, the old man that helped me, Claude, he showed me the verse in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So at some point, you got to stop complaining to God about what's going on and say, God, I don't understand. I don't like it. It's killing me, but it's going to really kill me if I don't get above this. So I don't even know how to say this and maybe even mean it, but I thank you for my situation. In the midst of this horror and pain, I thank you and I trust you. Now show me what you're trying to do. And then he starts using it. Yeah, I don't even like saying things like this out loud, but either she's going first or I'm going first, or we're going to figure out how to do it together. But one of us has got pain coming if we don't die together. And people don't like to think about this stuff. Let me tell you something. It might not hurt you to think about these things. You might have a better marriage realizing that you could lose each other and that you got one day at a time. Don't stink it up. There are couples that go, oh, I pray to God he dies. I already got the, you know, cruise brochures ready to go. You're laughing. Those people exist. I'm not one of those people. But I understand that she is a gift that gets re-given to me every day. Can't take this stuff for granted, because your flowers can die on you. That's the arrangement. So you better take care of them while you have them. Did I read Psalm 34:18? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. You're not by yourself. Old Testament, God is with people. New Testament, as a believer, as a Christian, God is not with me. He is in me from the inside out. When I am out of gas, I'm out of prayers. You don't even know what to pray. The Bible says you're okay. He knows how to pray. Just let him do the praying. And then groanings that can't be uttered. You go, I don't even know what I'm saying. He's like, I got you. And he intercedes to the Father on behalf of us. Isaiah 40:6, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
You better get into scriptures. You better find you some scriptures. You better tether yourself, strap yourself to the word of God, because there's going to be a time when it is all you have. It is him and his word. That is all you got. And if you don't have that slab and you listen to nonsense and people say, oh, you're going through a rough time, check your horoscope. It's a horoscope, all right. Straight out of hell. Stop reading a bunch of crap that is not from God. Read the scriptures. Hide them in your heart, so when you're in that moment, you have tools, you have truth to land on. You feel like you're alone. You say, that can't be, even if I feel like I'm alone, that can't be true. I'm a believer. And he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So it's not possible, even if I feel alone, to be alone, because that's the promise. You say, but you feel alone. It doesn't matter how I feel. Faith tells me the fact is he is in me. And you can't change that, and neither can I. You say, I'm not going to make it. Yes, you are. I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. Somebody died to make all this possible. And it's not like he doesn't know something about suffering. I'm not even sure I can read this one, but I'll try. Isaiah 43:2, because too much comes to mind on this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You say, well, yeah, that's what it says, but look at all the terrible things that happen to people. If that's what the scripture says, and then God allows something different, you would say, well, has he lost his mind? No, he has a reason. But you can't use your reason and say, I'm going to figure this out. Sometimes you can't figure it out. You either are going to trust him or you're not. You say, well, I'm not going to trust him. Then what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to fix it. How are you going to fix it? The situation is what it is. I still pray for my little brother and his wife. And I pray almost every day. I pray every day. God heal Beth. It's so simple. And he hasn't so far. And I don't understand. I got nowhere else to go. You got nowhere else to go. Because he can and he doesn't. And if he doesn't, he's got a reason. And I don't understand. But I got nowhere else to go. You better have some people that you can weep with, or you have no one to rejoice with. Matthew 27:46. I got no explanation for this. I don't know what's happening here. I'm going to read you the verse. I can tell you what I think. But there's no way to get your head around what happened in this verse. Jesus is hanging on a cross, shedding his blood for me, for you, for the world's sins. And there's a moment where the Bible describes it as he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there's a moment where sinless Jesus on a cross, all the sins of the world from Adam to the end of time, dumped on him, and he becomes sin. And because he becomes sin, the Father can't touch him. And so in that moment, what does he cry out? The ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And you think this is just words like in a play, drama? No, this is from his heart. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so you would never have to be. So trust him. This is not some game. He's not playing some little game with you and just jacking with you to have fun. It's not like the gods are up there and they move little pieces around on a board and go, oh, let's knock him over just for fun. So if he allows pain, if he allows suffering, it's for a reason, because that's not the way he thinks, just to mess with us. You say, well, I don't like it. Okay, don't like it, but don't stop liking him. Trust him. And some of you are making decisions about this, and the storm isn't even here yet, but it's coming, and you better have sorted out what you're going to do before the storm comes, because in the storm, sometimes you can't figure it out. Go to Mark 4, and this is part of, this little story is part of what can be very confusing for people that read the Bible. Mark 4:36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And that is the question people ask. God, don't you care that we're dying down here? Or that someone has died down here and you did nothing? They're sick. You're doing nothing. Do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You say, well, where is he in a storm? If he can calm the storm, calm the storm already. What are you doing? And the storm is not calmed, and people die. It's not that he calms every storm, it's that he can calm the storm. And part of this little story is to prove to them that he was God. He has control over nature, but he doesn't always decide. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense for you to trust him. He's God. It's okay to ask questions, but at some point you got to let it go and trust him. Well, I can't do that. I'm just going to be angry the rest of my life. Well, that's brilliant. The only life you have, and you're going to just away that only life you have. And I'm not trying to give you easy answers. I got another friend. His 16-year-old son went in the closet. His closet one day got my friend's pistol and shot himself. That never goes away. That's never going away. You wake up in the morning, you think you had a terrible nightmare, and then you realize it's not a nightmare. It's every day, all day. Everything reminds you of that. You say, what do you tell him? What do? You be patient with people who are upset with God, and they're processing it. Because God is patient with us as we process tragedy. He is kind. He is patient. He is merciful. He knows we don't understand. He knows we are butt dust. I'm supposed to say butt dust, but I like butt dust better. So be patient with people. Don't just, you know, I'm not up here trying to just read you a bunch of verses and go, you know, you got problems, get over it, trust God. I'm weeping, I'm processing. I don't like it either. But I promise you, the day is coming. You will drop dead or Jesus will come back. You will be in heaven if you're a Christian. And in a millisecond, you'll be a cosmic, oh, that's what it was. And it'll all make sense. Faith gives you the ability to have 20/20 hindsight vision. You go down the road to heaven, you turn around, look back and go, it's going to be okay. Then you come back where you are and go, it's going to be okay. I don't get it. I don't like it, but I got no other option but to trust him. I do, but I really don't. So I'm going to trust him, knowing that one day it will all make sense. And I'm good with that. And here's a powerful one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if this doesn't help you understand some stuff, it doesn't make it easier, but it does help me understand. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So you got tribulation, you got trouble, and God comes along and says, I got you, and he comforts you. And you go, well, my gosh, I didn't think I was going to make it through this. And he didn't just hold me, he carried me through this whole deal. And then someone shows up in your life, and they're in trouble. And you go, I know what to do. I'm going to comfort this person with the same comfort with which God has comforted me. I never tell people when if you tell me your mom died, I will never tell you I understand. Your mom dying is not my mom dying. My mom died, your mom died, we both got dead mamas. But that does not mean I understand. Where's Kevin? Anniversary of his mother dying. All you gotta do is bring that up. He bursts into tears. You talk to me about my mom dying. I love my mom, I'm gonna see her again, but it doesn't hit me that him losing his mother is not the same as me losing my mother. It crushes him. So I'd never say to anyone, I understand. Don't tell people you understand. You can tell them you have a category for it, but don't tell them you understand. But it helps people when they're talking to someone who has gone through something and they look you in the eyes and you're weeping, and then you look at them and they're weeping. You go, you may not understand exactly, but you do have a category for my pain. Yes, I have a category for your pain. And I am so sorry for what you're going through. And now you're not alone. That's part of why people want to become Christians, because they meet Christians and go, you got all this tragedy, you got all these problems, but you still have joy. Why don't you just curse God and die? Because that's not the answer. And so they see you going through the things that everybody in the world goes through, but you don't respond or react the same way. You have joy, you have peace, you have hope. And they go, I'm going through stuff and I got no joy, no peace, no hope. I'm angry. I'm going to kill myself. And they say, how are you making it? And now you have a chance to give a reason for the hope that is within you, which is the whole point. And they say, I need some of that. I got to get me some of whatever you got. What are you drinking? Living water. That's what I'm drinking. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And I'm going to stop there. 22 again. What had they done? Since you have purified your souls, how do you purify your souls? In obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I challenge anybody to bring anybody in this gathering of this church, come and visit and leave and say, nobody talked to me and nobody loves me. It's not possible. You'll have to go hide in the bathroom. I never hear those people. Oh, I visited the church and nobody spoke to me. I didn't feel like anybody cared about me. This bunch of people knows that God loves you. You love God. You love yourself. Now you love your neighbor as yourself. And when you meet someone, you go, man, let's go. You can't just force that on people. That's either who you are or you're not. And this is how you get there. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then he quotes the Old Testament, because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Why do you think I read you so much scripture week after week after week? Because nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God says. And that's your slab. And the last one, Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That day is coming, but it hasn't happened yet. So we got all that stuff. We have tears. We have death. We have sorrow. We have all this, but not forever.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
The last thing I would say to you is this. People say, well, why didn't God heal? Why didn't God intervene? Now listen closely. You think you want God to intervene. You want God to fix it. If he intervenes like you want him to, are you going to be okay when you're F-bombing your wife that he stops you? See, you want selective intervention when he doesn't mess with your will. That's the whole point. Oh, no, I don't want him changing me. You can't force change on me. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I just don't like these certain things, and I want you to fix it. Well, if I'm going to start fixing things, then I'm going to start forcing things, and then that violates the whole system. You have the ability, you have a will, and God says, okay, you're going to do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I have a reason for it. You don't want him up in your business, because if you did, you'd repent, and he'd already be up in your business. He's waiting on us to respond. And one of those quotes I read you, in our pleasure, he whispers, our consciousness, he speaks, but in our pain, he screams. There's a man sitting right over here. He's got a buddy, all the money in the world, goes on trips, not responding to anything. Talks to me about Jesus. And I suggested to him that all of his friends that care about this man, pick a day, fast and pray for him. But here's the danger of doing this. If you fast and pray for someone to be saved, to be changed, for their life to be turned over to God, blessing them has not worked. So God says, okay, you're asking me to reach him. Yes, sir. Well, this is going to get painful. Okay. We'd rather our friend go through some pain here and get his attention than him spend eternity separated from you in a real hell. So let's go. Do something, God. And it, unfortunately, we only respond to pain, suffering. And then we cry out because we have no more control. You come to the end of yourself. Every day is a gift. That's the arrangement. the flower arrangement is, God says, look, I'm going to take better care of you than anybody on the planet or anywhere else. The thief comes with to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm offering you life and life abundantly. Thank me for what I give you. Stop complaining that some things die or it doesn't go your way. I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to take care of you. Don't ditch on me because something goes poorly from your perspective. And then for anybody who doesn't even know him in the first place, get you some Jesus.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.